everyone. Welcome to Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. We're delighted you've joined us. Thank you so much for inviting us into your homes, for inviting us into your lives and your world. We're excited to be here. I'm John Rensenhouse, one of your hosts.
And I'm Cinnamon Schultz, one of your hosts.
And I'm Walter Coppedge, one third of your hosts. Yes, that's three hosts. We've got a lot of hosts.
But that's because we're going to do a lot of things here on Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. A lot of different things. Fun things.
We're going to do some comedy.
Some mystery.
Some history.
Kansas City history.
Drama.
Laughs.
And some spine-chilling thrills. We're going to start off this week by giving you a preview of what's to come on Kansas City Actors Radio Theater and what you can expect to hear on this program. During the next few months, we're going to take you back to the golden age of radio, from the 1930s to the 1950s. We want you to gather around the Zenith or the RCA or your iPad or earbuds, whatever you got. And we're going to bring you some episodes from classic radio series like Suspense, some Agatha Christie, the beloved comedy duo The Bickersons, and so much more.
I had a chance recently to catch up with a Kansas City Actors Theater board member, Victor Rader Wexler, who can recall some of those glory days. Hi, Victor.
Hi, gentlemen.
I'm so glad to be able to talk to you about radio.
I will say that I didn't get a television set in my home until I was 12, so that all those formative years of mine were spent listening to the radio. For anybody who's under 60, I suppose, you might not remember, all living rooms were set up with this big piece of furniture called the radio and a couch and overstuffed chairs around it. People would gather around the radio and listen to the radio as a family. The kids would crawl under and put their ear right up against the wood of the radio and close your eyes. And what happened when you were a child is you'd be transported. You didn't listen to the radio. You saw it. And it all went on in your head. And everybody who spoke had a face and clothes they were wearing and the room they were in. And radio was very clever about how to do that, so that you'd come into a scene and the first thing you would hear are sounds of the room. Restaurant, you'd hear the glasses and the silverware and the buzz of the people. Or you would hear a fire in the background if there was a fireplace, or horns honking, or mosquitoes or crickets. So you would be taken to where it was. In our minds, you went there.
How did you get your start in radio?
When I was in the fifth grade, I got chosen to play Scrooge in the Christmas play in the fifth grade. And I felt very proud of myself. In the eighth grade, we had to sign up for our high school classes. There was nothing with drama, but there was this thing called radio production. I took radio production at least once every single semester, sometimes twice. Then when I was graduating high school, looking at what there was in radio, radio had already gone away. And I went to an advisor and I said, what do I do now? And the advisor said, well, try the stage. And he said, go to the university and find Dr. Norma Stolzenbach and never leave her side. So I transitioned from the Christmas play in the fifth grade to radio, then to stage at university.
Do you have any words of wisdom for actors who are going to be new to radio?
I'm learning them as I go. Because we are KCAT, I believe, and I've said so often, I think I sound like a Pollyanna, that we are blessed with not only the finest actors in Kansas City, but I've traveled pretty extensively before I moved to Kansas City 13 years ago. And I think we got the best actors anywhere. So they come on in these rehearsals. And only then do I hear, oh no, there's a little different thing that's got to go on. Freud is not involved in the radio. There's no backstory that you really allow to develop internally because it's all spoken. There's no time for dead air. There has to be a certain dynamic. And one of the big, big things that I've recalled, and our sound engineer is just being delighted with it, is to create the vision of radio. Actors have to work the mic. It's not like doing a commercial or doing an announcement. You go on and off mic. So at the end of a scene, for example, you could say, so, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. Bye then. Coming into the microphone, like if I want to tell you a secret, I say, listen, Cinnamon, I want to tell you something. Listen to me. So the dynamic of your placement on the microphone, whether you're looking at it or looking a little away from it, is what John Robertson, our sound designer, calls ear candy. And now, lately, when we're directing, we're saying the camera is on Mark Robbins. So you're not the focus of camera. So that meant Mark is really present on the mic and the other person is a little bit further away. And then if he says, sit down, Then you sit at the table, then you share the scene, and it's a two-shot, and you have the same present. That's probably the main advice I would give everybody, is to be aware that think of it in visual terms, and we're creating the vision through sound.
I am so excited that I had the chance to interview you and to be the one to do this, because I just love being around you, Victor.
It's fun to do an interview with you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
That's Victor Rader Wexler, ladies and gentlemen, a Kansas City treasure. We are so lucky to have him here. Now, I'm obsessed with the classic radio series Suspense, which ran from 1942 into the 60s because it featured such wonderful actors of the day like Agnes Moorehead, Orson Welles, Robert Young, Geraldine Fitzgerald, and yes, even that legend Lillian Gish. Such great stuff. One of our early episodes on Kansas City Actors Radio Theater is going to be a standout from that series entitled A Murderous Revision, which originally starred Richard Widmark. For us, it will star local celebrity David Fritz is a radio script writer who is upset that his boss, the producer, is constantly wanting to change the endings of the scripts he is writing. It's the epitome of a meta radio experience and a very fun journey into madness. Here's a little taste of it, pulled from a recording of a Zoom rehearsal featuring Mr. Fritz as the writer and Matt Williamson as the producer.
You listen to me. For 2 years now, I've turned out a murder a week for you. Week in and week out. A murder a week. I eat murder, I talk murder, I dream murder. And for what? Every time I turn in a decent script, you chop the heart out of it.
Your contract's up next week, Chris. You've got only one more script to do. Well, write it and get out.
You'll get better than the script. You'll get everything you deserve. I'm going to show you what a real murder sounds like. I'm going to show you if I have to kill you to do it.
Murder, murder, murder. That was David Fritz and Matt Williamson from a rehearsal of the Suspense episode, A Murderous Revision. And speaking of murder, we're going to have some Agatha Christie for you. Yes, the grand dame of mystery and suspense. There was an American radio series called Agatha Christie's Poirot that premiered in February of 1942. And we're going to do some episodes from that show featuring Kansas City's very own Robert Gibby Brand as Agatha Christie's famous Bergeron Detective Hercule Poirot. This is classic Christie that will ignite your powers of deduction and leave you delighted with the solution.
Oh, what a wonderful accent.
Thank you.
But what about the history? We've got to have some history. Kansas City Actors Radio Theater is going to feature an original, homegrown, homebred story about the wide open days that delivered our town into the Pendergast era. Kansas City, 1924. It's a brand new series written by local playwright Forrest Attaway, featuring an all-star cast of Kansas City actors. Mark Robbins, Gary Neal Johnson, Jan Rogge, Victor Rader Wexler, Scott Cordes, Jen Mays, Walter Coppedge, Bree Woods, yes, it's you, Walter, Matt Schwader, Katie Gilchrist, Brian Paulette, and many, many more. This story will take you from the stockyards in the West Bottoms to the wide open clubs of Prohibition KC to the beginning days of the Negro Leagues and leave you amazed at how this rich, diverse society came to define and make up Kansas City. Here's a taste of the characters you'll meet, featuring Ellen Kirk as Alice, the tough manager of a nightclub in Bordello, and Matt Schwader as a new kid in town.
This is you. Washtub is here. But be careful of the left window. It'll slide shut on you if you don't put a book under it. The right window works fine. You even have a fan.
Thank you.
Now let me get this right. You don't have any other clothes?
I have money.
Bully for you. Well, let's get you out of these. I'll have them laundered for you.
All of it?
Yes, all of it. Take it all off. You look like you just rolled out of a boxcar.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You can't have that up here.
What?
Your pistol. No guns on the third floor. It's a rule. Give it here. You can pick it up at the bar before dinner.
I can have a gun in the main room, but I can't have a gun in my room?
Those are the rules.
May I ask why?
No, you may not.
Enlighten me, please.
Let's just say upstairs is for upstairs business, and downstairs is for downstairs business. For the type of business we do upstairs, you do not need a gun, if you're doing it right. But for business in the main room, violence can be a viable option. Now your trousers, please.
What if I told you there were some pretty nefarious men after me and I don't feel safe sleeping up here without a gun?
Oh, have you figured out how to fire a gun while sleeping, Vincent?
Well, no, but...
Then don't worry about it. Entertainers, prostitutes, and guests of the club are the only ones allowed on the third floor, so you have nothing to fear. Now hand me that pistol. Good boy, Vincent. Wash up and rest. Your clean clothes and suit will be right outside this door on the hat hook in a few hours. Welcome to Kansas City.
I had a chance to ask writer Forrest Attaway a few questions about his inspiration for this series, and here is some of our conversation.
Okay, Forrest, what was the very first kernel of an idea that led you to flesh out what is going to become Kansas City 1924?
Actually, towards the end of last year, I was approached by a friend, Jason Nivens. He was very interested in sort of the counterculture that was happening in the 1920s, and he knew that I was a writer, and he just kind of pitched me this idea, and I thought it was an interesting concept, being 100 years removed, and what Kansas City looked like 100 years ago.
By counterculture, do you mean the Negro Leagues baseball specifically, or the generals?
Oh, everything. The bohemians. I mean, it wouldn't have been called the LGBTQ back then. The speakeasies were all integrated. And of course, they were just kind of ignoring prohibition altogether. Like, Kansas City was very much the Las Vegas of its era. It was just sort of an exciting sort of environment to think about characters. And when we started doing the research, like, we reached out to our friends at the Historical Society for the Negro Baseball League, as well as picked up on some dramaturgs to sort of help keep me within the lines. And we were going to do it as a friend show. That was the idea. It's like, we were going to do like 45-minute friend show. And I was like, if we garner any kind of luck with that, then we'll try to turn it into a full-length show. And then after the full-length show, maybe we could do a documentary before we could do a film. You know, it was just that sort of 6-year plan of being able to tell this story. And then the pandemic hit, we just backed off of it. And then Victor Rader Wexler called me and said that KCAT was thinking about doing a series of Zoom plays and wondered if I would write one. And at the time, I was very much against the Zoom play. I don't think there's too much that's theatrical about it. And so I said, no, I wouldn't be interested. And then I started thinking about it. And the next day I called him. I said, what if we did a radio show? And we got rather than a Foley artist, found a sound engineer that we really liked. And we did it about Kansas City in the 1920s. He liked the idea. And then we sort of tighten the screws on it to say we're going to do it in 1924. For me, 1924 is kind of an exceptional year in Kansas City history.
Well, yeah, that's a great bit of serendipity, because right about the same time we were, Kansas City Actors Theater likewise wasn't thrilled with the Zoom play environment, and we were in the process of shifting our thoughts towards radio as well. Obviously, you've done a lot of research for the script. Are there any sort of peculiar or unexpected places that your research has taken you to?
Well, initially I started working with some of the music historians around town, including like Chuck Haddix. A lot of it, I just wanted to make sure that the tone felt right as far as music goes. And then a handful of other just historians that knew a little bit more about Prohibition or knew a little bit about the mafia there at the time.
So are most of the characters you're writing for the series, are they actual historical figures, or are they fictional characters based on all the research you've done?
We have a handful of actual historical figures that sort of pop in to add little Easter eggs. A lot of the characters are representative of the groups or organizations of 1924. They consider like 1925 to be the sort of, not the beginning, but like where Tom Pendergast really sort of started the Pendergast machine in Kansas City. So 24 being an election year is an important year for that. So you've got all this sort of political intrigue, corruption, great music, and 24 is a fun year.
Yeah. Now you mentioned the music. Are you looking for some present day local musicians to sort of help us out to recreate?
We got them. Jeff Freeling is working to orchestrate an original sort of score for the series, and he's got some exceptional musicians already on board.
That's very exciting. Now, Jeff Freeling is otherwise known as Victor in Victor and Penny.
I mean, the list of musicians he sent me is exceptional.
How far along are you now?
Well, they're already rehearsing and recording the first two episodes. 3 and 4, I'm moving things around, so those are pretty much written. In my head, I'm 8 episodes in, and then it's a matter of shaping the narrative and then organizing it to fit a structure. Like, if there's one thing I learned after the first two episodes is to always go back and learn your playwriting history, because once I accepted like the rules of Seneca, the Roman playwright, and just to keep everything to 5 acts, that's made things a lot easier. Writing for radio is a completely new thing for me, and it's challenging and it's fun, but you know, you can't do the visuals. There is nothing that you can really hide, and everything has to be said, and it has to be said in a way that doesn't sound like I'm saying in a way just so you know that there's a gun in the room, you know. What I'm excited for is that it is Kansas City. It is Kansas City actors. It is Kansas City musicians. And especially in this time of pandemic, for us to be able to get together and actually create stories, it's recharging my batteries. It's giving me hope for the future of theater in KC.
That's wonderful. That's perfect. Hope for us all.
Kansas City 1924 will unfold over the course of 10 episodes right here on Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. You won't want to miss it.
But we're not forgetting about the comedy.
No, you gotta have comedy.
And man, we're gonna have comedy. Anyone out there remember the Bickersons? Well, it's a much-beloved radio duo that ran originally from 1946 to 1951. And it starred Don Ameche and Frances Langford as the married couple expertly paired for sparring and laughs. Now, we've got Kansas City Actors Theater board members Matt Schwader and Hillary Clemens, a real-life married couple, perfectly paired and perfectly prepared to bring you this delightful couple. And here they are now as John and Blanche Bickerson.
John!
No, what's the matter? Oh, why don't you let me sleep, Blanche?
What about me? What am I to do when you grind away like a buzzsaw? I never sleep at all.
You were fast asleep when I came home from my lodge meeting.
What time did you come in?
I don't know. Put out the lights.
You said you'd have one drink and get home at 10.
Well, I had 10 drinks and got home at 1. You knew where I was all the time. Don't start beefing about it.
I didn't know where you were. I would have called you.
What for?
Because the express man came around again with that package. It's from Kentucky, and there's freight charges on it.
Well, why didn't you pay him? I've been waiting for that package.
What is it?
It's my dividend. I belong to the Bottle of the Month Club.
Oh, I am just sick and tired the way your whole life is wrapped up in a bottle of bourbon. Maybe you'd like me better if I wore a label and put a cork in my mouth.
You needn't wear a label, Blanche.
Oh, there you go with your subtle insults again. When am I supposed to talk to you? You rush away in the morning and come home in the night when I'm sleeping. Oh, sit up and talk to me, John.
Oh.
Oh, that was classic. Classic fun.
Yes. And we've got more fun coming with another series that was based in Kansas City, Easy Aces. It's a comedy series that ran from 1930 to 1945. Goodman Ace and his wife, Jane, got their start in Kansas City. He had a show on KMBC Radio here where he read comic strips to his children.
No, wait a minute, Cinnamon.
What?
He read comic strips to his children? That was a radio show?
Yes, he was just trying to be a good dad.
Okay, sounds like fun.
Well, one night in 1930, the cast of the show that was to follow his show just failed to show up. And Goodman Ace found himself having to fill time. His wife had accompanied him to the studio that night, so they proceeded to engage in impromptu chat about a bridge game they'd had that weekend. The response was so favorable that they were asked to create a domestic comedy. Easy Aces was the result, and they moved on from Kansas City to Chicago and eventually to New York.
It's a delightful comedy, and we've got a couple of delights to play Goodman and Jane, our very own John Rensenhaus and Sidney Garrett.
Well, thank you for that delight, Walter. But what I think is really great about these radio plays is how many wonderful Kansas City actors we're going to be able to feature in them.
Yes, a new star every week.
Exactly, just like in the Golden Age. If we can't do live theater, let's do some radio theater.
So here's a little excerpt taken from a Zoom rehearsal of Easy Aces, featuring Sidney Garrett as Jane Ace, Nedra Dixon as her mother, and you as Goodman Ace.
So the doctor said you've got psychoanalysis. It sounds exciting, Janie. Did she give a prescription?
No, Mother, she's not like the doctors that give you medicine and take x-rays and put you in an oxidol tent.
What kind of doctor is that?
She's a psychoanalyst. She cures the mental conflicts and she makes you happy.
Well, if it makes you happy to be happy, be happy. Personally, any doctor who won't give you medicine is a fraud.
That's right. F-R-E-U-D. She tells me what's on my mind. She can see right into my brain.
Oh, dear.
Dear, now stop that.
I didn't say anything.
Well, I don't like your altitude about this whole thing. Stay out of this.
Well, I don't like your spending money on psychoanalysis.
Money? After all, what is money for if not to spend on doctors? I always say it's better to be well for one day than sick for 2 weeks.
I'm not sick, Mother. Look, here's the whole thing in a nut house.
Just tell me about the doctor, Janie. She sounds very interesting.
A good question, Mother. And the answer is she certainly is. And the most attractive you ever saw, with an office to match. Tall, dark brown hair.
Oh, I've always wanted a tall office with dark brown hair.
And when she smiles, oh boy.
No teeth?
Dear, what did I tell you?
You said stay out of it.
Well, do it.
That was a recording of a Zoom rehearsal for Easy Aces featuring Sydney Garrett, Nedra Dixon, and John Rensenhaus. Speaking of doing radio theater, it's not as easy as you might think. I got to speak to Kansas City Actors Theater Board President Darren Sextro about how KCAT came to embrace the radio concept and some of the challenges we've faced recording in the middle of a pandemic. Well, hello, Darren.
Hey, Walter.
How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good. Well, these are some interesting, challenging times right now for all theaters in the Kansas City area, and certainly for KCAT. And I'm curious, how did KCAT hit upon the idea of doing radio plays?
Well, as you know, as you well know, Walter, we're a collective. I would like to say that it was my idea, but I think actually we probably, you know what, I've kind of forgotten. We probably were in an artistic committee meeting at some point in the past 5 to 6 months that we've been dealing with coronavirus and brainstorming different ways to tell stories for our audiences. And I think it was a collective decision. Somebody hit upon the idea, well, I wish we could do radio like in the old days. And that's where it started, I believe.
Oh, perfect. And, you know, a lot of theaters are trying to do, are attempting different avenues for performance, streaming performances that were had been previously taped or...
And we've all watched those. We've watched other theaters around the country doing them, yeah.
And so I'm curious, you know, this is kind of unusual. Why go this route as opposed to streaming, say, performances that had been recorded from before?
I think that collectively, again, the artistic committee liked a lot of streaming theater that they've been seeing in recent months and also felt unfulfilled by what they were experiencing. We also sense that a lot of theaters are doing it. Some of them are doing it well. And we wanted to make sure we were pursuing something that was unique. And we also wanted to do something that possibly we would have done even outside of our current healthcare crisis. And also, you may remember this, Walter, but when Kansas City Actors Theater was founded, you were one of our founders, part of the charter originally was to create sound theater programming. And so I know a couple of us remembered that. And we thought that was never done at Kansas City Actors Theater. Now would be a good time to attempt that and to do it in this way. So I know it's not exactly what you guys had originally in mind 15, 16 years ago, but it was a way to honor the intentions of the original founders.
That's interesting because it was one of the original thoughts was that we could do something that was completely sound-based. Of course, in those times, we were even thinking about doing it with a live audience, but that presented challenges. I'm curious about what are some of the challenges that you've noticed that KCAT's encountered in just producing and recording radio plays.
I think it's an entirely different art form. And we may have gone into this thinking, well, we can do live theater. We can certainly do radio plays. We can do radio theater. And as you know, you've been part of the rehearsals in recent weeks for some of our early programs in the series. We're learning that a lot of the techniques that are so successful live on stage don't work for radio. And it's kind of exciting. I think it's a challenge, but everybody's getting to work a different muscle. I, of course, am directing a couple of things right now. and quickly learned that everything that works successfully as a director doesn't necessarily work in this medium.
That's interesting, especially working with you on that project. Yeah. I've discovered that there's a different rhythm to these things than a live performance on stage. It being all oral, I think the aural, rather, it needs to have a quickness and a brevity that we don't normally have on a live stage. And what I think was very beneficial was being able to listen to some of those classic radio programs from the golden age and to hear the rhythms and the speed with which they attack the language and to discover that, wow, this is the way to do it. And this is what makes it funny. And it's a very different way of performing.
Totally. But isn't that exciting?
It is very exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
During the golden age of radio, when they were doing these radio plays, you know, they would all probably gather in the studio and be able to have like a read through together and swap notes and then go into the studio and record these things. It's a bit different for us, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I assume back then that they were also all breathing on each other, which is a dangerous thing. Now, yes, it is. We are having to honor our context right now by being creative about how we record. Often our artists are in different spaces. We're having to use podcasting technology so that we could handle that. And every once in a while, people are able to go into a studio together, but there are masks all over the place, all kinds of protocols, and of course, distancing from each other.
That's just amazing. All this modern technology and all this these safety efforts and precautions going into bringing you some classic radio.
Yes, so, exactly.
Wow. Fascinating. So I'm curious. That brings me to my last question, I guess, which is, you know, this seems to be a new avenue of performance for KCAT. This is a brand new door, as you say, they're opening. What do you think the future holds?
I don't know that we assume that this is what would happen, but I can tell that this is going to have a life beyond our current healthcare crisis, the pandemic that we're dealing with. I don't think that this is a substitute for what it is that we do so well. I think this is going to augment what we do so well. And I'm expecting that Kansas City Actors Radio Theater is going to have a life for many years to come.
Outstanding. Well, thank you very much, Darren.
Thanks, Walter.
So radio is a great idea, right? All this wonderful new technology. We are thrilled to be bringing you some exciting stories right here on KKFI.
And we're going to be your hosts.
Your three-headed hosts.
For a wonderful mix of mystery, suspense, history, and comedy.
Every week, Fridays at noon, the shows will broadcast on KKFI, be archived here, and then live forever on our podcast, which is conveniently named Kansas City Actors Theater, and can be found wherever you download your podcasts.
So you can listen live on the radio, you can listen on the Kansas City Actors Theater podcast, or you can listen by clicking on a link on our website, kcactors.org. Three ways to listen.
But whatever you're going to do, you're going to want to listen. Kansas City Actors Radio Theater is made possible by support from donors like you and our program sponsors, which include the Estelle S. and Robert A. Long Ellis Foundation,
the Muriel McBride Kaufman Foundation, the Richard J. Stern Foundation for the Arts, the Miller Nichols Charitable Foundation, Theater League,
the Missouri Arts Council, and special thanks to Mark and Valerie Andrus.
And if you'd like to help make Kansas City Actors Radio Theater possible, visit our website, kcactors.org, and click on the red Support Us button to learn how.
Over the next few months, Kansas City Actors Theater is presenting our virtual Brouhaha series, 4 interactive virtual events to support KCAT and Kansas City Actors Radio Theater, including a virtual wine tasting with Cellar Rat Wine Merchants and yours truly drinking the wine, coming up on October 22nd. Get more information on the complete series and order tickets at kcactors.org.
I'm Cinnamon Schultz.
I'm John Rensenhaus.
And I'm Walter Coppedge.
And since you can't, in these trying times, come to us, we thank you for letting us come to you.
For inviting us into your homes and into your world.
Thank you. And please, stay safe and stay tuned.
Keep young and beautiful. It's your duty to be beautiful. Keep